Hey, hope you all had a good weekend. I did. I was on the road doing stand-up and back doing my one-man show this week. Paul Mercurio's Permission to Speak in New York City at the Actors Temple Theater. I hope you can make it out if you're in the New York area. Go to telecharge.com for tickets. And it's an audience interactive show. And I've told you about it before. And if it's your first time here, and it's a really cool show where audience members come on stage, tell stories from their lives. I'm having a lot of fun and getting great stories from people. You can go to my Facebook page, facebook.com/Paul Mercurio, and you see some really cool clips. And use the code PMFAN. That's PMFAN, and you get 50% off. Also, please go to iTunes and leave some nice comments about the podcast. It always helps. And send links around to the podcast. Tell your friends to subscribe. And this way my son can get that kidney that he needs. Okay, I'm lying. He doesn't need a kidney, but you know, you get the point. Speaking of money, my sponsor, deepdiscount.com, someone that I've talked about a lot, and they've been really great to me and help supporting the show. And so I hope you guys will support them. They got some great deals going on. They got a site-wide sale right now. You go to my website, paulmercurio.com, click on the Deep Discount logo. It'll take you to their site. They got a lot of great stuff, tens of thousands of items at even lower prices than normal. Your favorite movie, they got it. Your favorite TV show, they got it. Shows from back in the day, new series, all of that. I just picked up two things. One I had seen before, Papillon, which is great. The original one with Steve McQueen and Dustin Hoffman. I think they made a recent one. Find the original, which you can get at a great price on Deep Discount. It's great. McQueen's great. Hoffman's great. McQueen floats around on coconuts, which, you know, who doesn't love floating around on coconuts? I mean, that's every Saturday for me. And then another movie, Torso, which I only got because of the title, and it didn't let me down. It was basically about a torso that falls in love with a turtle. No, it's a horror movie. Hello. And it's called Torso. What more do you need? Go get it. It's really good, actually. So listen, you're going to find a whole bunch of great stuff on the site. Go to my site, paulmercurio.com, and click on the Deep Discount logo. And you'll find new movie releases, too. Out this week, The Meg. Yeah, that big giant shark movie. An undersea adventure about a group of divers who have to prevent a massive prehistoric shark from attacking a beach off the coast of China. You know how you prevent it? You just tell the shark that it's the beaches in New Jersey and there are syringes on the beach. Shark's going to go away. He's done. Get your copy now. It's on DVD, Blu-ray, 4K, Ultra HD for a great price. The name says it all at deepdiscount.com. Everything is deeply discounted. Click on the logo on my homepage. Go to their homepage and start checking it out. Deepdiscount.com. You won't be disappointed. And I hope you can check out my one-man show, Paul Mercurio's Permission to Speak. And please leave some nice comments and enjoy my guest this week. It's Brian Kilmeade, who has a new book out, a new interview about his book called Andrew Jackson, Miracle of New Orleans. It's a really cool book and a really interesting look at the importance of Andrew Jackson as a president and military commander. So I think you're really going to enjoy the conversation. Welcome back to the show. Special guest this week, my buddy, who's been on the show before. I think you've been on more than anybody else.
Thank you.
Could you get off your phone? You're on Paul my McCart- show.
What about Paul McCartney?
How many he was all there. You go. Thanks for that plug. Yeah. By the way, you have a stain on your jacket. Could you be more appropriate when you dress for my show?
I don't think it's a stain. Is it?
It looks like milk or something. Anyway, it's Brian Kilmeade, everybody, from Fox and Friends and Kilmeade and Friends Radio Show, has a book out, Andrew Jackson and the Miracle of New Orleans. It's now out in paperback. I read the book when it was in hardcover. It's terrific. And we want to sort of talk to people about the book a little bit.
Brand new afterward. And I just, because it turns out Andrew Jackson has been compared to Trump so often, even though I was researching and writing while Trump was hosting The Apprentice. Next thing you know, people think I'm timing it that way, which is fine. Mm. But when 50% of the people don't like President Trump and 50% do, or 40 and 40, whatever it is, next thing you know, people are like, well, he has his portrait in there. What's his problem? Andrew Jackson had fights with American Indians. Mm. Big controversy. So I just removed all the controversy. You and I don't have a problem with history, but evidently we do now. So I see what Reagan thought of Jackson, what FDR thought of Jackson, what Teddy Roosevelt thought of Jackson, and what Lincoln and Truman thought. They loved the guy for different reasons. He was a person in history that made a difference, especially when he won the Battle of New Orleans.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, they want to take down his statue, take down his portrait. They defiled his grave for the first time. When he was buried before the Civil War, there was no problem.
Right.
Through the Civil War, there's no problem. There's a problem in 2018.
Yeah, we go backwards with political correctness now. It's got to be present day all the way back. Was there a commonality in terms of some of the things that all of those presidents admired about him?
Leadership, yeah. The fact that he was 13 with no parents, yeah. No social programs to prop him up.
Right.
Ends up becoming a lawyer, congressman, a senator, a militia general, a regular general, and a two-term president. Mm. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Lawyer's easy. You know it. You did it.
Yeah.
Anyone can do it.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, who you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? And the bar, you cheated on the bar. We know that.
Yeah,
and
that
you're, and you're proud of it. And you said, well, sue me. I'm a lawyer. I'll sue you back. And it's, and I'm sick of the conversation. We go in circles.
I've lost control of my own show. The Battle of New Orleans is during the War of 1812, that period, 1815, an important battle. And you're right. He takes a, he's a take charge kind of guy. The British feel like if they can take over the ports of New Orleans, they can really break the back of America, right? And he goes in, and the Louisiana government doesn't really want to confront the British. So he declares martial law and takes over. And goes on from there, right?
45 minutes beats the number one infantry in the world. And they landed in piecemeal. And as they came in, he attacked them with hatches and axes.
Yeah.
Kind of really knocked off their equilibrium, was able to dig, get the whole town to dig a ditch, fill it with water.
Called the Line Jackson?
Or yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they would build a berm and they fight behind that wall. And then when the British said, okay, we're getting killed here. We have an idea. On January 8th, we're going to go up the side of the Mississippi River, get around the end, and we're going to destroy them. Not a bad plan.
Hmm.
The only problem was the current ran the other way. They put their canoes in the water, their boats in the water, and it went the other way. The war starts. They're facing us one-on-one. And within 45 minutes, they were totally annihilated. 434 dead. We had 13
yeah.
Or 1,200 wounded. We had 55.
And we were outnumbered 2-1, right?
Yeah, 5,000 or roughly 9,500.
Yeah.
And just so they had nowhere to fight, they just fought straight ahead.
Yeah.
And we would do this thing called anything it takes to win. So we didn't have uniforms or fancy drills. We just had a very determined group who had nowhere to go. Later, Jackson would ask, what if they breached the wall? What if they got through? He goes, well, I dug other ones behind it. And then I would have, if I had to, I would have burned the city and fought them right up the Mississippi.
Mm.
But how do you keep an army together fighting up the Mississippi on your heels,
right.
Continuing to retreat?
Right.
They were going to hold it. They were going to hold New Orleans and keep it. And mm-hmm. they were going to abrogate the Treaty of Ghent. And they were just going to say, okay, there was a world court back then. I didn't know this. There was a huge thing that Napoleon basically took New Orleans and flipped it. He took it from the Spanish. A lot of people thought illegally and then sold it to us and got some cash.
Right.
The British go, I don't recognize this.
Right.
I'm going to take it.
That's the Treaty of Ghent. And he was like, we're not going to recognize this and we're going to take it. But,
yeah.
but they had already seen the writing on the wall of Britain that they were losing this. They were losing this country. This was sort of one of the last ditch efforts to kind of hang on. Right.
No question. We were getting killed. And the British were one their last shot 29 years after the revolution to take another shot at us and finish us off, do what they couldn't do the first time.
Right.
And this was their shot. And they had every indication, burning Washington, no French to help them out,
mm-hmm.
like we had the first time. They were doing it. Jackson comes in. He trains his 1,200-man militia. They start winning a series of battles, wipe out the American Indians who are allied to him. And then when they finally face the British, it's just the British. It's no American Indian nation coming after them. They had
right.
killed Tecumseh
right.
In previous battles, and they did it. It ended up being such a huge holiday, Paul. It was the second biggest to the 4th of July.
Really?
Yeah. We used to celebrate it up until the Civil War. Then we had... It was the whole reunification thing, and it got pushed to the sideline. What I wanted to do with this book is bring it forward. I just think that we need good stories, American success stories, because we seem to be having an identity crisis.
We're talking with Brian Kilmeade about his book out on paperback, Andrew Jackson, The Miracle of New Orleans.
Now, are you going to post this, or is this just quality? Because
no.
You're using my facilities.
Yeah, again. Exactly. Well, that's what I
this
do.
This is a total away game.
Yeah. No, this is, I'm going to erase this. I need the tape for something else. Yeah, I'm going to post it. I'm going to put it on my phone and let my mother and my father listen to it. And that's it. Of course I'm going to post
okay,
it.
Okay, good.
You're like, you're my regular, like four times you've been on.
Right.
And my ratings go down every time. I lose
no
listeners.
Hits at all.
It kills me.
No hits.
It's the negative effect. Is Jackson, can Trump or any present modern president learn from Jackson, in your opinion? You know him well, you've written about him. And what can they learn from him? Every one of those early presidents had a whole different, you know, can of issues and worms to deal with. But is there a connection to the modern day that exists there?
No question. Someone who's assured themselves and who can consolidate power and get things done. He would be a power broker. To me, the closest one that I could see is LBJ, where he would sit there and say, okay, how many Democrats do I need? How many Republicans? What do they need? You need a new port. Do you need more infrastructure?
Right.
That used to be a lot of wheeling and dealing. That's what he used to do. Here's the best thing about it. Like you, you work in a surplus. You've saved a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
When Andrew Jackson was running America, when he returned America over, we paid off all our bills and had a surplus. That was the last time that happened in this country. You may not have liked the way he did, but back then, America had one major issue, was the problem with the clashes with American Indians. We're looking to move west. People are flooding in, and we did not handle it in a great way.
Right.
And I can't put myself back to, 1840 and say, this is how I would have done it. I have no idea. But if you look at these presidents, it was their top issue. At one point, importing oil, OPEC was our number one issue. Now we drill our own oil.
Right.
At one point, we're going to laugh at all. It was the Soviet Union. We've got to get more missiles in the Soviet Union. We had the big MX missile debate.
Right.
We laugh at that now. Now people don't even know what we're talking about.
Right.
Back then, that was it. I laugh because people look back and go, well, how many missiles did you guys need? Is Soviet, you guys going to blow each other up so many times?
Like, right.
That was like yesterday.
Yeah.
You're laughing at the arms race.
Right.
So that what are they going to, they're laughing at us. We're laughing at them then
right.
in the 80s and the 70s. And now in the 50s and 60s, and now there might be laughing at, and we look back and go, American Indians, what's the problem?
Right. But that was the problem. Where did he get the savvy to be able to sort of become that consummate politician? I mean,
survival.
You just learn it on the fly.
I mean, he had a horrible upbringing because both brothers died in the War of 1812.
Yeah, his brother Hugh,
dad,
right?
Yeah, dad yeah. Died before he was born. And then you had one brother, Robert, too. And next thing you know, he's all alone in the world. You get to survive,
mm-hmm.
So he was determined to matter because he felt invisible, never got a present his entire youth. Can remember what his mom told him, would keep those phrases with him.
Yep.
Never really found out how his mom died, just got her stuff back on a trunk on a porch.
Mm.
So I think you got two choices, even in today's world, which is so dramatically different. When things go bad, do you blame people? Do you lash out? Do you become a vagrant and a criminal? Or do you double down and say, find a way?
Yeah.
Am I going to solve these problems? Am I going to feel bad for
myself?
And
also, and probably with a chip on your shoulder, prove to the world. You were born with a silver spoon in your mouth, so you've been skating your whole life.
I don't
life.
Know what it's like to work hard.
You
and
don't.
I'm proud of it.
Right. He's sitting here in his bathing suit right now.
Called in sick every day, and they buy it. And I'm sick now.
The book is great, and it's a pop-up version, right? So there's like little
no
people
words.
That pop out? No
yeah,
words.
No words.
No words, just...
People tell the story.
It's just
I think too many people put too many words in too many books.
Right, exactly.
And that's why I'm campaigning for the wordless book. For adults, not for kids.
Right. Come on the road with me.
Right, and we just...
When I do Gotham, you have to come. Get permission from the people up top.
And do what?
You're funny. We're funny.
Paul,
this is funny.
You live in the third rail of life. You have to go on stage and be politically incorrect.
Yeah.
And when we're politically incorrect, we could lose our jobs, our livelihood.
Yeah, but nobody's watching you or listening to you here. Don't worry about it.
But I'm saying that's why I went on the road with you with your packed houses. I would say one thing that might be off color in the hope of possibly being accepted by your audience who just wants you to come on and wondered why I'm there. And I say one thing in an all-out reach to desperate to get one laugh after 17 minutes. And then it'll be politically incorrect and people will laugh at me, not with me.
No.
And then I'll say, why did I do this?
No, we go out together. We'll do a thing, like a back and forth.
Oh, that's gone so well. There's so many successful comedy teams. Let me see. After having a Costello,
Martin there was
Smothers and Brothers.
Kill Me to Mercurio. Nice. BK, the broiler okay. and Mercurio.
70s. 1974, the Smothers Brothers left the air.
Yeah.
Please name the next great comedy team. Name the next great comedy team. There is none.
Nixon Agnew.
Right, that was good. But they were both out of work after a short period of time.
Exactly. By the way, a really great piece on Frontline has a two-part series about Facebook because you're talking about...
I saw the first part.
It is really... Anybody out there, watch it. It talks about the evolution of Facebook and how it came to be this thing that's been controlling us in a lot of ways. And I thought of that because you talk about the problems... in 20 years ago, and we laughed now that it's a problem. And 20 years from now, we're going to probably be laughing that this is a problem with Facebook, but it is a problem. The book is, I know you have to go.
Yes.
You have pizza to deliver?
I don't deliver it. I sell it. I'll make the pizza and knock on doors and say, you hungry? Because no one actually calls. So I'm looking to make some sales. A lot of people wait for the call. I make the pizza. And if you ever want to be desperate, put all your money into pizza, take it out of the oven, and know if you don't sell it before it gets cold, you can't sell it. So there's a desperate nature to it.
See, that's funny. That would be good on stage at a comedy club.
Really?
Yes.
I don't think so.
Kilmeade. The book is Andrew Jackson, The Miracle of New Orleans. It's out in paperback. It's a great book. I read it. Very well written. And it's pop-up. There are little pictures in there.
No words.
Brian Kilmeade. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, Paul.
All right, there you go. That's Brian Kilmeade. Really good book. Highly recommend it. He's got a couple of others that he did before this. They're all good. Really well researched. So grab it. Check it out. And please check out my one-man show, Paul Mercurio's Permission to Speak. Use the code PMFAN. PMFAN, you get 50% off if you go to telecharge.com. It's going through the end of the year. And please leave some nice comments on iTunes. It always helps. Thanks, folks. See you next week.